This gospel passage is a popular one for spiritual masters to use when they're giving a retreat. So, you know, sometimes when you go to if you've been to a retreat, the retreat master will give you certain passages of scripture to pray over. And so the Lord will be speaking to you in an intimate way through those passages. And so that when Jesus speaks, you know, and says, "Come to me, you all you who are labor and am burdened, and I will give you rest." That's a popular one, especially as one kind of begins the retreat, because usually, you know, you're consumed with the cares of life, and there's lots of things going on in your mind and your heart. And so that first step, you start off well, is like, okay, come to the Lord, and he's going to give you rest. So it's a great passage for all of us at all times, in a certain sense, to, you know, when we find ourselves distressed, burdened, labored, you know, we're struggling, that we would remember this passage and turn to the Lord so that we might find rest and peace for ourselves, what we seek so much. Now, what I'd like to do is take a look at the various causes of the burdensomeness and the laboring that we have in our lives, laboring in the sense of struggle, right? It's difficult. That's what Jesus is getting at. What are the causes? Well, we could be struggling in our lives because of a reason or a cause that we don't have any responsibility for, we didn't do. So on the first Saturday of each month, when we had an associate, now it's me, we would go and we'd go and visit shut-ins. So that's what I did today. And so those whose their physical health is very much failing. And so they're laboring, they're struggling. I went to see one gentleman at the care center that he can't even receive communion anymore because he doesn't have enough strength to be able to take and chew the host. He'll gag. So you think about the labor and the struggle there, right? And so that's one type of laboring and being burdened, that your body's failing, you're getting older, right? You didn't really do anything. It just happens to you. You're not the primary cause. Okay, so that's one type of struggle, burdening, laboring, that we could address, but we're not, all right? Because we're going to have the homily done in 7 or 8 minutes. A second type of suffering and burdensomeness that we can carry is because of what other people have done to us, right? Somebody has violated our rights. Somebody has disrespected us. Someone has sinned against us. And because of someone else's sin, we now suffer. We are burdened. And we can think of a myriad of examples, right? We all have personal experience of that. But we think about someone who chooses to, as a drunk driver, right? And wrecks into a person who is not intoxicated, who is healthy and is abiding by the civil laws, and they, because of that, they suffer some kind of infirmity for the rest of their lives. Because of someone else's sin, now I'm burdened and labored. So how do we come to the Lord in those situations? How do we find rest when we're burdened and labored because of someone else's sin? So the suffering of the innocent, you might say, and due to someone else's sin. We're not going to deal with that one either. The one we're going to deal with is this. The one for which probably most of our suffering, our burdensomeness, and our laboring is the cause of those things in our life, the greatest cause of the laboring and the burden. And that is because of our own choices and our own sin. I don't have any statistical proof of this, but my thought is about 70% of our laboring and our burdensomeness, the burdens that we carry, the struggles that we have, come because directly as a result of our own choices and sins. And so to really come to an awareness and appreciation of that fact, that there's a cause and effect in life. We've kind of separated that in our society as far as the culture, that you make decisions, there's going to be a consequence to that decision. Well, what we're saying is a lot of our burdens, a lot of our laboring comes from the choices, the decisions that we make because of that cause and effect relationship. And so this gets us right to St. Paul when he speaks about living according to the Spirit instead of living according to the flesh. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. If you live according to the Spirit, you will live. And so what does he mean when he is speaking about living according to the flesh? What does it mean to live according to the flesh? Well, one interpretation is that the body is bad and the soul is good, or creation is bad, all creation is bad. And so you kind of have to live at a higher level, at a spiritual way. So it's kind of a rejection of everything that's created. That's not what he's talking about. And that way of thinking is actually a heretical way that was embraced in the early church and still pops up even in our day and age in different types of spirituality. The flesh has also been interpreted as just sexual sin. Living according to the flesh is reduced basically to sexual sin. Well, that would be included in it, but it's much broader for St. Paul. He means much more than just sexual sin when he says living according to the flesh. When he says choosing to live according to the flesh, he's talking about living in a way in opposition to God's plan, in opposition to God's law, in a way of sin that encompasses all of sin. So if you want a clear understanding of what all that would include, think about everything that you confess in the confessional. That is according to the way of the flesh. All right? And here's the thing. So this wonderful, I think, unity and connection between what St. Paul is saying about choosing to live according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh, and finding rest in the Lord, being delivered from our burdens and our laboring. If we can make the connection in our heads that living according to the flesh in our sinful ways leads to being burdened and laboring and struggle, we can find a peace that we have not experienced in a consistent way like never before. The peace that the Lord is talking about. This is an area where we could have some control over. Because, you know, the people that I visited today, they don't have control over. Their bodies are failing, right? And it's only going to keep getting worse. Or the person who was injured because of a drunk driver, or someone who is injured because of somebody else's selfishness or sin, there's nothing really that they can do, right? But this cause of our burdens and our laboring, we can do something about, because it's directly connected to our sin. And so my experience as a priest and hearing confession is that a lot of us are not very well informed about the ways in which we sin. What's all included in sin? My experience is that a lot of people have kind of reducing sin to something like major, such as killing someone. You know, basically, if you haven't killed someone, you're kind of without sin. You're good. No, I'm not. You think I'm joking? I'm not. So a greater appreciation, a knowledge of what sin is, what it all includes, doing a good examination of conscience. So these are little examination of conscience sheets that we have at the back of the church for a person to prepare themselves to make a good confession. And it's so important to make a good review. Oh, yeah, I didn't think about that. Oh, yeah, I didn't think about that. We need some formation, you might say, when it comes to those things that bring about labor and burdens and struggle in our life. And that formation, it means we're going to have to have a conversion of heart, because there's a lot of times that people think, well, that doesn't hurt anything. That doesn't hurt me. It doesn't hurt, you know, nobody's affected by this sin, this action that I'm committing, this behavior that I'm doing. Well, it may not look like there's any consequences right at the moment, but down the road. So it's like, for example, I'm over 40 now, so my doctor's made me do all these blood tests, the 40-year-old blood tests. And so I got to go back in. And so there's some issues with father's blood and his sugar levels. And I said, well, I feel just fine. And I don't see any problem, any consequence, anything bad happening. And he said, well, if you continue in this way, it won't be long, and you're going to be in a state where you might you could lose some limbs eventually. And I feel fine. I'm just fine. I can go to Dairy Queen every night, right? I'm a carbohydrate fanatic. So I can be, you know, because of my experience, think that doesn't have any negative consequences, think that it's okay, but it's only down the road that I'll see the burden and the laboring that's a result of those choices. Does that make sense? So what I'm saying is that we have an opportunity to alleviate and find some deeper peace in our life in a consistent way by acknowledging a source of a lot of our suffering in the choices that we make in our sin. And probably one of the first things that we need to do is recognize the cause and effect relationship, that there is one, and then to do some formation in ourselves to understand and recognize and appreciate those sins that are causing labor and burdensomeness to myself and to my neighbor, the choices that I've made through a good examination of conscience. And so every week we come back here, hopefully we're enlightened in such a way that we can move forward into the freedom that the Lord has promised. Is that going to be a challenge? Is that going to require some giving up, some trust in what someone else is saying? So I'm going to have to trust what my doctor says, even though I'm the expert. I looked it up on the web, you know, so I'm WebMD. And it goes right to what Jesus says. You have to become like a little child, he says. What did he say in the gospel? Okay, God has revealed the kingdom to those who are childlike. And that's the disposition, the attitude that we're going to need to make the kind of advances and find the peace that we're looking for. And if you get that peace in yourselves, you're going to be able to give it to others. And then the world's going to recognize the peace that it so ardently desires.